Perfect. All right. Let's get started. Oh. Just as a reminder, my presentation is starting right now. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Those of you just trickling in the room, feel free to filter in. There's still lots of seats here available. As I was saying, this is a fully booked up session, so please try to make room for some neighbors. So just to introduce myself, first of all, my name is John Stedek. I'm the Director of Product Management and Services at PlateSpin. So I'm responsible for, obviously, all the products and product roadmap with our products, as well as all the technical services and technical support that we provide. So I'm going to be talking to you today about how you can uniquely use PlateSpin's products to leverage your virtualization environment as a high availability or recovery platform for your physical servers. Now, this is a bit of a unique solution that we'll be talking about today, specifically focused on allowing you to take existing production machines that you have running inside of a physical environment and move them over into a virtualized environment on an ongoing basis, so you always have a warm standby of a server running inside a virtual machine, which you can power up at any time. I'll be talking a lot about lots of the details of this solution throughout this session. We've got a couple other PlateSpin team members here with us in the audience, so we'll be taking questions at the end. And of course, if you have any questions that we're not able to cover in the session, we've got lots of people at our booth, and as well, we'll be available for a few questions after the session, and lots of materials here up front. So if you'd like more information, please feel free to come up and talk to me. So just a little bit about PlateSpin. First of all, just by a show of hands, how many people have heard of PlateSpin in the room today? Fantastic. That's great to see. This is our third time at VMworld. We've obviously been at every show, and we've really grown a lot. We've grown up a lot with the virtualization industry, and we're really excited to see how big the show has gotten this year. And it's fantastic to see a lot of familiar faces as well as lots and lots of new faces. You know, 7,000 attendees this year. It's fantastic, and so we're really excited to be a part of it. So just quickly, a little bit about PlateSpin for those of you that aren't familiar with us. We are a global software vendor. We're based in Toronto, Canada, and we provide solutions for users who are looking to optimize their data center. And now most people know us as, oh, PlateSpin, they've got this great P2V tool. But when we look at physical to virtual conversions, we see that as really just one phase of optimizing how you operate your data center and how you manage the resources in your data center. So we have two products, one called Power Recon and the other called Power Convert. So Power Recon is our product for the IT architect that allows you to collect, analyze, and plan data and resource and workload allocation within your environment. Our other product then is PlateSpin Power Convert, which allows you to move systems around in your environment. So we can seamlessly decouple operating systems, application, and data, so the workload that's running in your environment, and move it anywhere else in your environment. So lots of people know us for P2V. We probably have many of our customers here right now who've done hundreds, if not thousands, of physical to virtual conversions using Power Convert. But Power Convert's main functionality is really not just being able to virtualize systems, but be able to move your operating systems anywhere in the data center. And of course, today we'll be specifically talking about a very unique functionality that's now available in our new release of Power Convert, Power Convert 6.5, which just released today, actually, which gives you incremental transfer functionality and how that can play into using that so you can leverage virtualization as a recovery platform for your physical environment. Of course, we have been playing in the virtualization space now for a number of years. Our product started working out with even before ESX was around, so even with the GSX level back in 2000. And we've really grown our company around virtualization as there's been this change in the data center to adopt virtualization. Of course, both VMware and Microsoft partners, and we've won a number of awards in the last couple of years for the growth that our company has seen. So let's talk about the topic today. So you guys all saw lots of sessions about business continuity. Obviously, business continuity is a key challenge that people are facing in the data center, where you want to know that you're going to be able to get your systems up and running as quickly as possible in the event of either what I like to sort of say is a small D disaster, where you lose a couple systems, or a big D disaster, where you lose an entire site. So in order to be able to do that, we like to really use the term availability. So how can you increase the availability of the workloads in your data center? And I'm going to use the term workload here as a server workload. So it's the operating system, application, and data. And that's what we sort of use as the general term for the software side of the data center, opposed to a resource, which, of course, is the hardware side. And you can have physical resources or virtual resources, and workloads run on those resources. So the availability challenge is all about trying to figure out how you can actually make your systems as available as possible without blowing your budget. And that's really the key trick, is doing it in a cost-effective manner. We're going to talk about some of the options that you have in terms of current technology and older technology that's available on the market, and specifically talk about some of the interesting, unique values that PlateSpin's OS portability technology adds into the availability challenge. also talk about virtualization specifically and how virtualization itself becomes a really unique mechanism to do very sophisticated recovery and really speed up a lot of recovery times and also recovery testing. Finally, a little bit about how it works. So what's the magic behind what we're going to show? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We do have a live running demo in our booth as well. So at the end of the show, I'll invite you to come by the booth, or at the end of the session, come by the booth and take a look at the live running demo. We've got our systems engineers there. They'll be happy to give you a tour of the product. So the availability challenge starts with the budget. Of course, we all know everyone's constrained with their budgets. It's hard to be able to find the budget for all the projects that you want to do. And typically, if you look at all the servers in your data center, you end up spending a lot of your money up on the higher-end servers in your environment. So these are the business mission-critical systems. They may even be mainframe systems in some environments where you're spending a lot of money to be able to come up with a good business continuity or disaster recovery plan for these systems. Then you spend another set on your business critical systems. Maybe these are top-end SQL servers or Oracle servers. Maybe they're running some internal CRM systems. Essentially what you've done, though, after you've allocated your DR budget, you've actually spent about 80% of your total DR budget to only protect about 20% of your machines. This leaves a large number of, especially in an x86 infrastructure, a large number of your x86 servers in an unprotected phase. So you spend a little bit more money, protect some more systems, spend a little bit more money, and you end up really with a lot of these systems really effectively underinsured. If you were to recover those servers, it may take you 2 weeks to recover those servers because you've got to order a new piece of hardware, you've got to reinstall the operating system, reinstall the applications, and the process can really be quite laborious to bring those systems up. What also happens is that the systems up at the top end can sometimes be overinsured because there's not a good gradient of solutions here to allow you to really pay the amount that you want to pay to protect those systems depending on its business criticality. So what we've attempted to do is really try to hit the sweet spot where we overlap here between the overinsured and underinsured systems to be able to give you a viable solution to increase your, or I guess decrease your recovery time objectives and also maintain decent recovery point objectives and make it very easy for you to get your production physical servers up and running quickly. So let's take a look at some of the options you have for recovery. Of course, tape backup. How many people here have tried to do a full system restore from tape? And successes, if it's the same piece of hardware, works well. Totally different piece of hardware, maybe not too bad. Typically what happens, you just give up and say, I'm going to reinstall the operating system, reinstall the application. Oh, I got to make sure I put this patch on there. Oh, and if it's an internally built application, oh, I got to make sure I get this build of this jar file from this developer and put it here. And it can be a real challenge to try to fully build the system infrastructure back up and running from tape. So it's a cost-effective solution, and it is good for being able to archive your systems, but it makes it very challenging to try to be able to get a full system restore from tape. Your next solution is disk imaging, and there's some really interesting solutions that allow you to be able to take a full system image of your server and store it onto an image server. Now, the challenge with this is that you took the time to back up your server onto an image, but now if you want to be able to recover that server, you have to go through the act of taking that image, provisioning it out, hardware independence, with using PowerConvert. As a side note, you can do a great hardware-independent recovery using live imaging technology, but typically a lot of imaging software is very tied to the hardware. So you need to keep around secondary machines that have similar hardware, and it becomes quite expensive. You also have to suffer the recovery times of being able to deploy that image back out to that system. Of course, if we go up the scale, and we can go past server clustering, but server clustering is sort of the top of the solution set here, which really talks about near zero recovery time objective and recovery point objectives. And I'll clarify, I'm using the term RTO and RPO, so recovery time objectives, how long it takes you to get that workload, get that system back into production again. And of course, recovery point objectives is the longest amount of time that may pass from the time of the good, from the last good backup. So server clustering gives you near zero recovery time objectives as well as near zero recovery point objectives depending how you set the systems up. However, they're very expensive. They require one system as your primary system, one system as your secondary system, two OS licenses, maybe some clustering software, application licenses, and really you've just got a whole other system on your network to manage. So what we've come up with is this notion that we call P2V recovery. So it's about using the virtual platform or using virtual infrastructure as a platform to be able to recover and keep your physical systems up and running as quickly as possible inside of a virtualized environment. Now, a lot of you are probably saying, well, I want to virtualize all my systems, and I would agree if I could virtualize all my systems, I would want to do that too. But in some cases, virtualization is not necessarily the practical solution for some workloads, as well as in large organizations, if you've got thousands of servers, you're not going to virtualize all your servers. It's going to take some time. But being able to leverage virtualization in the recovery format really becomes a good way to start to get more and more uses of virtualization beyond just server consolidation. So just out of curiosity, in the audience here, how many people are sort of on the internal IT team side of things opposed to in the consultancy area? Okay, and then on the consultancy service provider side of things? Okay, so it's maybe a little bit heavily twisted to the inside side, which is good. So what? So now, for those of you that are running internal IT shops, how many of you have more than 50% of your workloads running inside of a virtual machine? Okay. How many have more than, well, I was going to go up from 50%, but maybe I'll go down from 50%. I was actually talking to one guy today, and he has 98% of his systems running inside of a virtual machine, which blew me away. That was fantastic. But what we're seeing is that people are, you know, as virtualization becomes more accepted in the organization, people are starting to move more and more systems into a virtualized environment. But really what you want as IT administrators, IT directors, you want the ability to use virtualization and use the benefits of virtualization to solve other challenges in the data center. And that's really what P2V recovery gives you. We give you the ability to replicate physical environments into a virtual machine on an ongoing basis so it can act as a warm standby for you in the event that physical machine goes down. This means that you get really great recovery time objectives, and I'll talk a little bit specifically about the benefits of being inside of a virtual machine itself. So we all know that, first of all, VMs are encapsulated, they're portable, so you can move them around, you can do lots of great things with them. But specifically, what becomes interesting with a virtualized environment is that you're actually able to reduce your recovery time objectives, because instead of having to go through the act of restoring a system, you simply, in Power Convert, you would right-click on the server and say, recover. We're going to boot up that VM, get it running inside the virtualized environment, install VMware tools as necessary, and then you've got a recovery environment up and running to replace your production server. But more importantly, not just on the recovery time objective, but it also speeds testing times. How many of you can say for 90% of certainty that you're going to be able to execute your disaster recovery plans to perfection? Okay, there's a couple of people, which is good. And disaster recovery planning is not an easy thing to do. And so what you want to be able to do is you want to plan for it, but you also want to be able to test it. And so what you're able to do when you're recovering into a virtualized environment or protecting your physical workloads in a virtualized environment, you're able to very easily test those systems because it's running inside of a virtualized environment. You can boot it up. We'll actually take a snapshot of the virtual machine, start it up. You can attach it to an internal network. You've got everything isolated in a network. Check it out. Everything's running fine. Shut it back down, and the synchronization will continue. As well, because you're running inside of a virtualized environment, and especially with VMware Infrastructure 3, and you have resource pools, you can actually set up a backup resource pool on your ESX servers to be able to use that as a dedicated resource pool for your recovery environment. And then you can throttle the amount of resources that get assigned to that backup resource pool. So how is this all possible? How can we move physical to virtual? A lot of you had already heard of PlateSpin and probably have heard some of the functionality. So I mentioned our underlying OS portability technology allows you to pick up an operating system and move it anywhere in the environment. So this gets applied to many different solutions, whether it's server consolidation, hardware migration, test lab creation, provisioning. Of course, specifically, we'll be talking about recovery today. But the technology itself essentially decouples the operating system, allows you to move it over to another environment, dynamically reconfigures the operating system to make it run inside that environment. So although specifically we're talking about P2V recovery today and how to leverage virtualization, OS portability technology and Power Convert allows you to move systems anywhere in your environment. So if you've got a Blade project going on, you could actually be able to take physical machines that are running on old rack servers and move them into Blade servers. Physical-to-physical conversions become quite effective. So this is the key technology that actually makes this all possible. It allows you to move physical to virtual, not just once, but in an ongoing basis. We can do this in a live fashion for Windows servers, and now with the newest release of Power Convert 6.5, we're able to do this in an incremental fashion as well, which of course makes this P2V recovery possible. So we talk about the availability life cycle. So how do you actually create a plan to be able to do this? So as I mentioned, we have two products. So there's Power Recon and Power Convert. And what that allows you to do is actually inventory your systems to get a sense of what's actually out there and how to plan what kind of resource utilization you want inside your disaster recovery environment, inside your virtualized disaster recovery environment. So Power Recon allows you to collect all the data, figure out how big these workloads are that you want to protect, and actually create an optimized solution for protecting the servers. Now, for those of you who have an existing ESX environment, where this becomes really interesting is that you're able to go and find different pieces of the virtualized environment or your virtual resources and potentially underutilized capacity of your virtualized environment and use that spare capacity as a recovery platform for your physical servers. So once you've got your plan created, you can take that plan from Power Recon, send it over to Power Convert, and actually start to execute the replication process and the ongoing synchronization process. I'll talk a little bit about more of these phases going on. I've got some demos that sort of explain how this all works. So as I was talking about, the first thing you want to do is actually inventory the servers. So find out what's actually on those servers, find out how big they are, and actually monitor those servers for a while so you can really size the workloads and figure out how big of a recovery environment do I actually need. Once you've figured out how big of a recovery environment you need, you can actually then create the plan that you want. So what type of excess capacity do I have in my virtualized environment? Maybe I want to add a couple new virtual machines to act specifically as dedicated virtual machine servers for my recovery environment for my physical machines. So once you've selected your plan, you can actually then go and configure the jobs and actually move these systems or move that plan over into Power Convert to actually execute your recovery plans. So the first step in setting all this up, and a lot of this actually happens behind the scenes in a fully automated fashion. I've got some screenshots that'll show you the actual interface of how you set this all up. So the first step that we do an initial backup of your production server over into your virtual machines. Power Convert can automatically create the virtual machines for you based on the specifications you provide. The configurations are actually defaulted based on the discovered information from those physical servers. So instead of trying to say, well, I've got 40 servers here that I want to protect, and this one has a 9-gig server, this one has 30, or a 9-gig disk, this one has a 36-gig disk. Power Convert just detects all that information for you and actually pre-configure the conversion jobs for you and pre-configure the virtual machines so it'll match the size of the physical machines. Of course, you're able to change that around as well, too. So once you've done that initial backup, you've got a virtual machine that it's a powered-off virtual machine which is sitting inside your virtualized environment, and it is now basically ready to be powered on once you've done one backup. But of course, what you want to be able to do is do this in an incremental fashion. And as I was mentioning, Power Convert 6.5, this is new functionality that has just come out with Power Convert 6.5 that builds on our current live transfer technology. And live transfer technology allows you to move a Windows system from a production physical environment into a virtualized environment without powering off the machine. So we're able to now use what we call synchronization schedules to set up a schedule. So once a night, every 6 hours, once every third Thursday of every month, you've got lots of scheduling options, you will actually be able to do an incremental transfer of your physical machine over into the virtual machine. Now, the important thing to note here, when this replication process is actually going on, is that you don't need to have an operating system installed and running on that virtual machine. So you don't need two operating system licenses, you don't need two application licenses. We're doing a full system replication of the production machine over into the virtualized environment. So now this is where things become interesting because we're running inside of a virtualized environment. We allow you to easily test your recovery plans by simply, as I mentioned before, right-click on the VM and say, start this up. Again, you can connect it to an internal network. You can change the host name if you wanted to, change the IP address. You can configure not only the virtual machine but also the operating system inside of it so you can test out that system's up and running. So you can go to your boss once a month and say, yeah, I've done my test. We track all the activities that happen on a synchronization schedule, so you have a full audit log of the last backup, the last incrementals, all the previous incrementals, as well as any tests that were run. So you're able to now go and show to someone, say, I've tested this recovery, I've tested this recovery, I've tested this recovery. So it becomes a very effective way to prove that your recovery plan is actually going to work. So now, something goes wrong. There's some sort of failure, and you lose a number of servers in your environment. So now the challenge is, well, I've got to get those servers up as quickly as possible. Because you already have a full system replication of those servers inside your other environment, you're able to get those virtual machines up and running very quickly. So it's simply a case of just powering on the virtual machine and getting it up and running. again, because we're using our OS portability technology, we're able to cross the boundary between the physical and virtualized environment to get that running inside the new virtualized environment. So you get your systems up and running. So now they're running in a VM. Yeah, is there a question up there? Good question. So our live transfer technology is able to handle open files. So just like you might have a backup agent that can handle open files, our live transfer technology can also do this as well. Yep. So databases are a good question. So what we're able to do with databases is you've got two options with databases. One is that we're database aware and also exchange aware, where we can actually quiesce the service in order to allow you to replicate that over into the other environment. Or what you can do, and a lot of our customers have done this as well, is that if it is a critical system that you want to have protected, there's maybe already a backup strategy for the database itself. So the actual data itself follows a bit of a different backup strategy. If you were to actually rebuild that system, you'd have to reinstall the operating system application and then pull the data back into place. So what some users have done is they're able to replicate just the system drive, so now they've got a full system image of their server that can be powered up at any time. Maybe for a SQL Server you're using DTS to replicate it over to another SQL Server. You can then take that database file, drop it back on the recovered VM, and start it back up. Sorry? Yeah, so you've got some different configuration options in terms of how you actually configure the system. So in terms of making sure that you've got the right IP assignments to make sure that the data actually hits that new database server properly, PowerConvert gives you the ability to actually reconfigure the operating system to assign different IP addresses or, of course, keep the same IP address as necessary. So question back up here. Yeah. Right, and that's the beauty of a virtualized environment. Because you can now leverage an internal network of a VM, you're able to actually configure the test recovery to happen inside the internal network of a virtual machine server. So then you can now actually isolate that machine, bring it up, make sure that everything works out fine from a test environment. In a recovery environment, of course, your physical machine, your production server, or your primary server is now offline, so you can bring that virtual machine up and running with the same IP address of the backup server. Yep. Sorry, with the same. Yeah, so the MAC address of the virtual machine is going to have it will be a different MAC address than the physical machine will have. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Does that mean recovery has to be in the same domain?
In terms of like the actual same like a Windows domain? It doesn't necessarily have to be. If you want it to be able to attach to that same domain server, so all the security permissions and so forth of that domain are applied, then yes, it would be in the same domain. But what PowerConvert allows you to do is we can actually change domains as well. So you can set up the recover into a different domain as necessary. So I'm going to take a block of questions, and we'll do some Q&A at the end. But there was a question down here in the front.
Can you get it to change the IP address?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll clarify that point there. So when you do a recovery or a test recovery, you're able to change the MAC change the IP address. You're able to change the host name. You can change whatever you want, or you can isolate it inside of an internal network as well. So if you don't want to change anything, okay. Now, in terms of the failover, we bring these VMs up and running. So now they're running inside the virtualized environment. So now the trick comes, well, what if I want to actually restore these to a physical environment? If they were good to run inside of a virtual machine, maybe I would have virtualized them already. So you've got really three different types of scenarios that you need to look at here. The first one is, well, this server at the bottom is totally died, but I happen to have a new blade environment and I've got some spare blades that I want to be able to take this bottom virtual machine and provision it back out to the blade. So, of course, using PowerConvert and our OS portability technology, you're able to de-virtualize that virtual machine over into the Blade server and stream it over onto the new Blade server, regardless of what type of hardware that original production machine might have come from. So, again, this is now playing to that OS portability as really a key piece of technology in the data center to give you some hardware independence for managing your workloads. Another option may be, well, you know what, this it's a recovered system, but it seems to be running inside of a VM, so let's just leave it in a VM. The second server down there, it's burnt out. It was old anyway, so let's decommission it, and now I've done a bit of a server consolidation project because a failure actually happened. This is something that that some customers do, where they can actually use this process to be able to have a recovery environment, so now they're protected, and then once that physical, maybe it's an old ProLiant 3000, and it finally gives up the ghost, they then just decommission it, and then they're up and running inside the virtualized environment. Another option may be maybe one server, you blew out the power supply or something happened to it. Maybe the rack, something happened to the rack, but the physical machine can actually get up and running. So then you can take that standby virtual machine and provision it back out to the physical environment to be able to recover your systems. So this is another interesting use case here in terms of off-site SAN replication. So this becomes a very unique way for those of you who are running a number of virtual machines in your environment and you're using virtualization as a unique way to provide off-site disaster recovery. The problem is that system works great for virtual machines, but what about your physical machines? You've got to now take a different tack for your physical machines. What you're able to do now with P2V recovery is replicate your physical machines into virtual machines and use that same common strategy that you would have for off-site protection of your virtual machines for your physical machines. Because you're running inside of a recovery environment, typically those systems can tolerate a little bit less performance, and so it's okay to run them inside of a VM in the recovery environment. So, of course, the steps you would go through here is you'd first of all back up your systems. So you're creating the virtual machines inside. It would be on a VMFS partition that would be on a SAN LUN. You would then set up the replication. So now you're doing some sort of asynchronous replication between your primary site and your secondary site to move those virtual machines over to your secondary environment. Then if you wanted to do testing, you would actually be able to do a test of testing the server locally or testing the virtual machine locally to make sure that it's actually able to get up and running and that everything's okay with that system. Then in the event of some sort of failure and you have a site-wide failure, all these systems go down, you're able to now take those virtual machines and boot them up and attach them to a virtual machine on the other side. So this is all about bridging the physical to virtual divide. The title of our session is talking about using virtualization as a high availability platform for physical servers. Obviously, has interested a lot of people. And so the trick is, how do you do this? And really, the key that we feel is being able to use OS portability to bridge that gap between your physical and virtual machines. And so what you want to look at is being able to have resource assignment, so being able to actively be able to assign the resources to the backup server, so you've got a backup environment that is able to run, which won't actually overpower your production virtualized environment. Being able to do it through automation and auditing. So we say here, a one-time manual conversion is not enough. You don't want to do one P2V, but you want to be able to keeping your physical machine in sync with the virtual machine server. And so what you want to be able to do is make sure that this can be done in an automated fashion, but that you're also able to actually audit that session. As I mentioned before, these synchronization contracts have auditing logs, so you can track what's actually been done on that. Of course, being able to do this in a repeatable fashion and be able to fail back. So once you've got a recovery environment running inside of a virtualized environment, you want to be able to move that back to a physical environment if necessary. So, of course, as I mentioned, some of the key things with OS portability is not only are you able to move the system around, but you're able to reconfigure the operating system at the low level, configure the operating system settings, and also right-size and resize the resources in order to be able to get that system up and running properly inside the virtualized environment. This really does talk about really creating a viable, warm standby environment. What a lot of our customers are saying is that, well, if I've got a physical machine here and I'm going to have to dedicate exactly the same amount of resources to it inside my virtualized environment, I effectively have two systems. Well, with PowerConvert and OS portability technology, you're able to control and meter the resources that are applied to that virtual machine and configure the virtual machine, as I mentioned, maybe to a different resource pool, so you don't have to have an exact duplicate of the number of resources that you might have in your production environment as you would in your recovery environment. And, of course, as I mentioned before, being able to restore back to physical servers really sort of closes the loop here in terms of being able to bring those systems that may be running inside of a virtualized environment for recovery, bring that back to a physical environment. So it all starts with creating a plan. So this is Power Recon here. What Power Recon, as I mentioned before, allows you to do is actually inventory your servers, monitor your servers, and create what we call a workload profile. So you're able to then understand how much or how many resources that production machine is actually using, and then be able to figure out, okay, well, how much do I want to overcommit my virtualized environment to be able to actually consolidate and really provide consolidated recovery. So we're able to do this in a completely agentless fashion, so we can go out to the physical machine, collect all its inventory, and then monitor and collect all the data so we can build out these workload profiles. Now, what's really interesting is that we have something that we can call the Consolidation Planning Module, and it's a new release, actually, of Power Recon 2.5, as we're announcing this week as well. That gives you not only the ability to plan out consolidation, but also plan out your recovery environment. So you can mark specific workloads for not just necessarily consolidation, but you can actually mark them for recovery or for protection. So what that means is that the consolidation planning module, it will have then a number of workloads. It will try to figure out how to pack those workloads onto either your existing ESX environment, or it'll tell you what the minimum number of new ESX servers you might need to be able to pack that onto or pack those workloads onto the or into your virtualized environment. But now, uniquely, you can dedicate certain workloads to say, I want this to be a protected workload. So I don't want to actually put the workload there. It's not actually going to be running there, but I want to be able to reserve the space for that workload. And what we actually do is we distribute all workloads that are marked for protection. We distribute that across all the number of virtual machines that you might have in your environment. So then you can make sure that you could have one server that's got 5 VMs on it that are all running in production. Then you've got another server that's running 5 VMs that are all running that are all supposed to be protected servers. And so what happens if that one machine goes down? You've lost the resources to be able to recover your 5 servers into that virtualized environment. So what we're able to do is actually distribute workloads intelligently, whether it's a protected workload or a consolidated workload. Then once you've created your plan, you're able to actually take that plan and move it over into Power Convert and actually execute that plan with Power Convert. So once you take that plan from Power Recon and pass it over to Power Convert, you don't need to use the two products together, but a lot of our customers find it very helpful to get all the data, create the plan, and then pass it directly into Power Convert. If you wanted to, you could just start with Power Convert and discover your servers and start creating these replication jobs. So we've got a job configuration screen in the background there. Again, I was mentioning you're able to not only configure the job and the scheduling parameters, but also the operating system parameters and control the startup state of services. We were talking about SQL Server, how we would handle databases, control whether you want to quiesce these services, as well as then being able to change IP addresses and host names and also reconfigure any of the certain settings that you might want with a virtualized environment. Choose which type of resource pool you want to assign it to. Set up your recurrent schedule, and then create the job. Then once you've created the job, it goes through that process where it continually replicates the physical machine into the virtualized environment, and you manage that now through what we call these synchronization schedules. So you can have, if you're backing up, say, 25 machines into one virtualized environment, you would have 25 synchronization schedules, which you then can control and edit. You can pause, you can restart, you can force incrementals to happen, you can force a full base transfer to happen again. And this is where then you would manage the ability to either do a test restore, which is specifically focused on actually bringing that system up temporarily just to test that, make sure it works fine, versus a full restore, which is bringing that server back up to replace the production server that's gone down. Is there a question there?
So if I'm doing all this live replication, I've got a couple hundred servers in my environment, but your tool is going to give me some sizing on what my type needs to be in my recovery site?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So in Power Recon, there's actually the ability to, we collect a lot of metrics with Power Recon, and there's specifically a report that we focus that helps you out with DR planning. And so it's a disk utilization and IO-based report. So you can see how much data is actually changing over time. And then based on how much data is actually changing over time, you can use that to figure out what kind of effect that's going to have on the pipe in terms of sending it across the network. Currently, there is no compression on the replication, but all we're doing is we're just transferring what's changed from the last time that we've done that transfer. No, they're actually at the file level. So what we're doing is we're treating each file as basically that's the unit that gets transferred. So if you change the number of files, then we'll transfer those files over time. Yep.
So if it's Windows only.
Currently, it is Windows. Yes, we PowerConvert supports physical to virtual conversions of Linux as well. We support Red Hat and SUSE to ESX, but currently the incremental transfer and live functionality isn't available on Linux. However, that will be coming. Good question. So NT4, the way that NT4 works with the way that we do our live transfer, currently we don't support live transfer on NT4. Yep. That's a good question when you ask for nick teaming. Are you talking specifically around in the take control process? Or?
We use Broadcom. Yep. Team to integrate
yep.
Smart load balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the problem. We had to break our teams to get it successful.
Right. So what you were probably doing there, you were probably taking control of the servers in order to be able to transfer them, right? So when I say taking control, this is talking about some other functionality in the product. When I say taking control, what that does is actually reboots the physical server into a pre-boot environment, and then we can stream the data in a completely unfettered manner off that physical server over into the virtualized environment. Depending on how the NICs are configured, you may have had to break the team in order to be able to get it to get that teaming or get those NICs to work inside our pre-boot environment. But when you're using live transfer, it doesn't matter because we're running at the OS level, so we'll just see that teamed environment. So in terms of supporting this from a physical to virtual or a P2V recovery scenario and using live transfer, that's the best way to support teams is to use the live transfer functionality. Yeah?
Is there any conflict
That's a good question. So the way that we've written our live transfer is to be non-invasive as possible. So we currently have not, we've tested with a few of the leading backup software, so the Veritas and so forth. We haven't encountered any specific problems with that yet, and I haven't heard of any field reported problems that would cause conflicts there. Yep. Yes. Yeah. So what we feel is that being able to replicate at the file system level is a unique differentiator in terms of being able to do some interesting things at the file system level. However, we also recognize that block transfer has some really key advantages to it as well. So as we look to evolve the replication technology, we feel it's important to do it both at the block and the file system level. If you can think of something sort of as I'll sidetrack here a little bit, just talk about the future a little bit. If you can think of doing something interesting as you're moving your systems around and you're replicating data at the file system level, if you could be doing a virus scan, say for example, at the same time that you're moving systems over at the file level, you can start to do some really unique things specifically at the file system level. But we definitely recognize that there's benefits to a file system versus block level, and we'll be providing support for both of those. Yep. That's a good question. No, so currently it doesn't, but as we look at what we call a concept of what would be a business service, so multiple workloads that tie together to really provide some type of business service. So the simplest case is a three-tier application. So you got presentation, database, and some back-end system. So right now, it doesn't actively discover those relationships, but you can actually create different groups where you can group together different workloads as a business service, and then you could be able to focus on specifically creating a P2V recovery plan for those specific groups. So ultimately here, the complete solution here really goes, it starts out with starting with a good plan, being able to actually create your recovery plan and execute your recovery plan in a timely fashion, then being able to actually use virtualization as this recovery platform. And so as I was mentioning, PowerConvert is really the only product on the market that allows you to replicate physical machines into a virtualized environment on an ongoing basis, and it doesn't require you to have an operating system running inside the virtual machine. So in terms of a cost-effective nature, remember we started off this conversation talking about cost and how to allocate your DR budget. I'm sure there's a number of servers out there that you would really like to be able to recover a lot quicker and have a better protection level for them, but you're just not able to justify the budget of a really sophisticated replication solution. So what we're able to do now is provide a very cost-effective solution because you don't need to have an operating system and a whole other set of applications running inside the environment, and we're streaming right into the virtual disk, again, because we don't need the operating system inside the virtualized environment. Of course, you're also able to then find and utilize the existing virtual resources in your environment. So again, this is a key point for those of you that already have an existing virtualized environment and you want to be able to figure out how you can use more and more of those resources before you've actually decided to move the majority of your systems into the virtualized environment. So this is a good way to then use those excess resources as a recovery platform. Of course, being able to accelerate your recovery time objectives becomes very key in order to be able to take those systems and boot them up very, very quickly. The testing as well becomes a very, very key point. We really can't stress this enough in terms of when we talk to our customers, the biggest challenge they face is that I don't know how to properly test my recovery plan. I was actually talking to our IT administrator ourselves. We have maybe about 20 servers. Our test lab has hundreds of servers, but our actual corporate environment has about 20 servers. And I said, how long is it going to take you to actually test out the recovery plan for every single one of these servers? He kind of looked at me and said, well, I could do it. And so I said, well, how long is it going to take? And he said, well, hey, give me a couple of weeks and we'll see. Whereas if he was actually replicating all this information into a virtual machine to actually be able to test that out, it'd be simply a case of just right-clicking, recover, attach it into an internal network and test it out. Being able to, of course, maintain a good level of RPO. Typically, most customers would be looking at a 24-hour RPO for the systems that they want to protect, and being able to do this then through our incremental synchronization functionality. And of course, I had already talked about being able to do this without needing a whole other workload to manage, not another operating system application and so forth to manage on the target side. And of course, being able to restore back to dissimilar hardware if necessary becomes really key. So then you can now take those machines that you've got running inside your virtualized environment, be able to bring those back to a physical environment to be able to then recover once the disaster has been cleared off. Okay, so I'm going to take a few more minutes. We're approaching the 4 o'clock mark here, so I'm going to take a few more minutes. Happy to answer any questions. Yeah.
How do you restore to dissimilar hardware? What's the reverse process?
Yeah, so it's actually the power convert interface, and again, I invite you all to please go to our booth and take a look at the demo. It's a drag-and-drop interface, so you pick up a workload, you drag it over to the system that you want it pushed out to. So what we're able to do then is you would take the physical server, you stick in a boot CD, it comes up in our boot environment, you just register it with your power convert server, and then drag that physical, you take your virtual machine, drag-and-drop it over to your physical machine, and power convert will then pick up and reconfigure the operating system to make it run inside that new physical environment, regardless of what hardware is on that system.
So, but how does the hardware then? How does the other box? Is it? It's up. Is it booting over the network? Is it booting from the SAN?
So what we're able to do is use our live transfer technology to be able to take all the data that's inside the virtual machine, stream that then onto the physical environment in order to be able to then get that up and running, and then we manipulate the operating system at a low level, whether it's HAL and kernel changes or drivers, in order to be able to get that up and running.
Okay, so it's already has an existing system.
It would be up inside the virtual machine, and then you're streaming it back to the physical machine.
So the physical server does have any operating
system? It doesn't have it. No, it's bare metal. There's no operating system on it. You stick in a boot CD. That boot CD will then communicate with the power convert server, and then you can start the process from there. So no operating system is required on the physical machine to start off with. Yes? Good question. So we work with VMware, both server and DSX. We also work with Microsoft Virtual Server. Currently, the test recovery functionality is only supported on ESX3. Yes, question in the back? You can have one-to-many replication in the fact that you would have one physical server replicating to one virtual machine, but you can have many virtual machines running inside that one environment. So you essentially get a one-to-many replication where a many-to-one replication where the one server is actually your recovery environment. But was I answering the question properly?
No, I was thinking the power comms is creating one server.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if that's what you were asking. So currently, no, it replicates into one environment. However, from a multicasting point of view, that's functionality that we are looking at to be able to then do a one-to-many replication. Yes?
Are there any complications with iSCSI environments that are using total functionality with scale?
Right, so from our testing in an iSCSI environment, it's all about the operating system that's handling the iSCSI side of things. So to us, it's just a storage environment, and we're able to replicate data off of that. So currently, there are no known limitations with an iSCSI environment. Sure would. Yeah. So you could, not only can you do P to V recovery, but you could do P to V recovery and replication. You could do V to V recovery and replication as well too. Yes. Yeah. It sure could. Yeah. How's this license? Yeah. So it's licensed really per workload. So per server. So if you have, if you've got 10 physical servers, just to make math easy, if you've got 10 physical servers you want to protect, and you want to protect it onto one ESX server, that would be 11 licenses, 10 physical servers and one ESX license. But it's not a per socket licensing. Okay. Yes?
When you do the P2P, the live transfer.
Yeah. Yes.
How does it transfer?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that there's not another operating system that you need to manage. You don't need to have another license. So what we're able to do is actually boot the VM into our small boot environment. So for Windows, it'd be a WinPE environment to be able to read the data off the physical server and then translate it directly into the virtual disk file. Yes.
Yeah. On the tail back scenario.
Yeah. It'll move the whole system back, because presumably what's happened in a failure scenario is that system has totally died and you've replaced it either with a new piece of hardware or a reprovisioned piece of hardware, so then you can push everything back.
In case of like a fan fail or something like that, in that scenario the data is still there.
Right. Right, so in that case, what we would recommend then is actually taking the data and just moving it back over to the production environment, because you don't need to rebuild the whole physical server. So, yeah, that's a good point. Yes, question in the back?
Can I ignore a specific volume to say I have a SQL server when I have drive 500 data on SAN?
Right. Yeah, so the question is can you do this on a volume-by-volume basis? And yes, you can. So we have some customers where they're using this just for their C drives, for their system drives, and they're replicating that over into the virtualized environment. Yep.
How do you query as the database that changes SQL? Do you use VSS? Do you put them in a hardware hub mode in the back of the API?
Yeah, so currently right now we are actually we're bringing the database down, so we'll just go to the service and say, shut down the service. This then flushes everything to disk, so then we can copy that off.
Okay.
Yeah, and with Exchange as well too. Yeah, over here.
When you're recovering back to the physical machine, can that all happen online as well?
When I'm recovering back to the physical machine, yeah. So the server, the virtual machine will be up and running inside of its environment, and then you're streaming it back over to the virtual machine, over to the physical machine. The only time that you're going to have an outage is when there's a cutover. So essentially, the last thing that gets done is the VM gets powered down, and the physical machine gets powered up. So you can think of it like rebooting your server, except it used to be running inside of a virtual machine, and now it's running on the physical machine when it boots back up.
Do you have the same control over the parameters, IP address, and all of that?
Yeah, exactly. The only thing you can't do is change the amount of memory, because it's a physical server, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how are network interruptions handled when you're doing replications, making sure that data is checked out?
Yeah, so what we have with our live transfer technology is we have our own handshaking and error checking protocol that will sit on a normal TCP/IP protocol. So what we can do is we can assure that every packet has actually gotten over, that has actually been transferred. If you completely lose network connectivity, then the system will sit and wait for network connectivity to be reestablished. In the event that network connectivity can't be reestablished, then the job itself will fail, and we'll say, okay, this system is in an inconsistent state, so resynchronize the system and get it up and running. Okay. Yeah?
Can
Currently, yes, because we're at the file system level, and that was the gentleman's question over here about block transfer that makes that type of functionality evolve.
How do you discover a physical machine? Do you install agents or something like this?
Right, so the question was, is how do you discover physical servers, and for that matter, virtual servers as well, too, so or virtual machine servers. So it's completely agentless, so you're able to go into PowerConvert and just say either discover all the servers on my domain or here's a host name and IP address. We're able, for Windows servers, we'll go out using WMI, collect all the inventory data that we need. For Linux servers, we talked about doing one-time Linux PDVs. We're just communicating over an SSH protocol to be able to get the data off the server. Yes?
Have you got HCL?
There's actually the question was, do we have a hardware compatibility list for this? So there's actually there is a hardware compatibility list on our knowledge base, but there's also actually the hardware compatibility list is actually built into the product itself. So what you can do is you can discover the servers, and then you can there's a tool to analyze servers, and we'll actually go through each of the servers because we have a full inventory of those servers, and we can match up all the PMP IDs and just check that everything is looks good to be able to support that system.
Does Power Recon do that as well?
Power Recon doesn't do it doesn't do hardware-based checking to that respect. For those of you who've used Power Recon in the past, actually in the latest version of Power Recon, we have an ability to go out and actually figure out what servers on the network we won't be able to remotely collect data from. So that's a nice, just I guess, diagnostic tool for anyone who's used Power Recon in the past before. Yeah, in the back. So currently, no, but definitely from a replication point of view, that's really on the list of the three most important features to be looking at. That's in the top three. Yeah, so all data, you can choose to have it encrypted as you transfer it across the network. Yep. Right, so if there's a break in the replication, if it's a temporary break and the system can pick up and continue replicating, then we'll just pick up and continue replicating. If there actually is a break and it's a permanent break and the job has actually failed, then what you would do is then you would just, it would show up as a failed job. You can set up an alert so you'd get an email if you knew that would happen. And then you just simply set up the synchronization schedule again so we can make sure that we're at the right base level. So you would delete the virtual machine, just say, create me a base replication again and get it synchronized properly. Yep.
Does the pull versus incremental synchronization pattern follow the same pattern as with other backup or traditional backup software, and how does the licensing work for that since it's an ongoing process?
Right, so the I think there's maybe two questions there. I'm not sure. So the base just transfers everything, and then the incremental will transfer what's changed since the last time an incremental was done.
Yes, but do you do like a full every week, followed by incrementals every day or every hour?
Yeah, good question. So what would typically happen, the way you would set this up is you would do one base, and then you would do incrementals, say, once a night. But because the incrementals are additive, because you're actually copying them over into the virtual machine, you're now getting your virtual machine stays as a replica of your physical machine, opposed to more traditional stuff where you're doing an incremental and it's just the incremental.
The intention is the incremental is in perpetuity.
Perpetuity. That's a $5 word there. Nice. Yeah?
So if you're using Exchange or SQL in order to copy the file?
Yeah. Yeah, so right now we will quiesce the Exchange service to be able to take it down. But what I was mentioning before is that what a lot of our customers are doing is if they're using if they already have an existing replication strategy for their server, they use then this type of solution to be able to back up the system opposed to backing up the actual database file or Exchange database file. So you're backing up the Exchange server, not necessarily your mailbox files. Because you're then using a different backup strategy to back up the data, then you can marry those two strategies together to really get effective system recovery. Yes. And so the spot that we've targeted this, if you split your systems up sort of across two matrices, if you will, you've got stateful and stateless systems. If it's a stateless system, just replicate away because data doesn't really matter. Maybe some things are changing. You're applying patches. You want to make sure those patches are getting replicated. Whereas if it's a stateful system, in other words, it actually is storing data like a database server, if you have a very high I/O environment or a system with very, very large files that are changing constantly, like an Exchange server, then in terms of selecting the solution, you may want to use this solution to protect the system drive but not necessarily the data. Okay. Yes?
Mm-hmm. What's the process of providing the critical driver?
Yeah, great question. So PowerConvert actually ships with a driver database that houses the majority of main data center driver or main drivers for servers. Obviously, the mass storage devices and network cards are the key ones. We also have a driver management interface, so you can actually say, okay, show me all the drivers for an HP 380 system, G4, that wouldn't make sense, for a 5i RAID controller, say, for example. So you can then see what drivers are already in the system. If there's a newer driver version that comes out, you just say, you know, click, upload, point to the folder where the INF file and the sys file is, and we'll then upload that up into our centralized, into your centralized database, if you will, so the driver database that comes with PowerConvert. Yes? Yeah, so that's a good question. So yes, it is, but it would be a little bit of a different process. So what we're able to do is we're able to read data from multiple image formats. This is getting out of the point of streaming directly from a physical machine into a virtual machine. But if you had a physical machine that you took an image of, either in a Kronos True Image or a Symantec Live State or the Backup Exec Server Recovery or whatever the 6.5 version, and then you could take that image, you can point PowerConvert to that image and say, take this and deploy it out to a virtual machine or deploy it out to dissimilar physical hardware if you wanted to. So that is functionality that we have, and that's part of our OS portability technology. Yeah? PowerConvert won't monitor your physical machine to start it up, but you can use our API. You can then, if you've got other monitoring systems that you want to use and triggered off of an event, you can then call our API to then say, okay, restore this inside the virtualized environment. Yeah?
Back to the database question. Since you currently don't have the hot pre-assing capability for the application, if I already have a process, whether that's a hardware-based or another snapshot technology that will do that for me, and I have a snapshot of what is. This is my operating system, or the entire server that is. Can I port that into tie to your product and make virtual machines of it somehow? You have images. I know about those images. You can
control,
but you're not talking about the disk.
Yeah, so you can do it on this was a question before in terms of doing this at a volume by volume basis. So you can replicate just the C drive, say, of a system, create the virtual disk file of your C drive, so then that system can then be restored. Then it's a case of then just remapping, maybe if your database is, say, stored on a back-end SAN, then remapping that LUN to point to your database or creating a virtual disk file and dumping the data onto that virtual disk file. Now you're getting into a really interesting solution, which I'll talk quickly about just to sort of we're filtering out here, which is actually being able to use, if you've got a boot from SAN environment, say for example, and you're replicating your LUNs over to a recovery site, being able to automatically point to those LUNs and say, okay, now I want to boot those, either into a virtualized environment or into dissimilar hardware. So in a boot from SAN environment, if you've got a bunch of physical servers that are connected to a SAN, in order to be able to recover those, you need to have basically the same hardware on the other side, which really isn't always cost effective, and it's a real pain to manage. So that's functionality that we'll actually be bringing out in a release in the first half of next year to be able to point at a server, whether it's just a server with some data on it or a server attached to a LUN, and say, okay, now recover this and make this bootable with whatever server I have attached to it, physical or virtual. So I think we're about at our time here, 4:15. So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate your attention. Hopefully you learned something.